Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Welcome to the Love HQ podcast. This is a place for women who want to explore love, sex, dating, and relationships through an unconventional approach of ditching the normal dating advice, prizing yourself as an individual, and listening to expert interviews from all different walks of life, focusing on how you can get more in touch with yourself as a person, develop better relationships, and live life on your terms.
Hello, ladies, and welcome back to another Love HQ podcast. The only podcast where we rebel against the normal, completely rubbish and disempowering dating advice, and instead go renegade on the system and give you some really, really amazing insights into the reality of love and dating so that you can get yourself sorted. Joining me again is return guest, awesome superwoman, Harriet Whaley-Cohen.
Woo! Superwoman! I've got my cape on and everything.
Yeah, and Harriet Whaley-Cohen, how cool is this? Has just been in Grazia magazine this week, so...
Yay!
So how would you title yourself? Because to me, you're just like the most, first of all, glowing, fabulous, strong, empowered coach and speaker that I know.
Thank you. That's gorgeous of you to say that.
It's just the truth, isn't it?
Yeah. We've got a bit of a mutual fan club thing going on here. How would I describe myself? I'm a speaker, I'm a coach, and I'm a mother. And to sum up what I do, I change the way that women think, act, and feel in their relationship with themselves and their bodies massively for the better. And I do that through my speaking, workshops, talks, and also my one-on-one coaching work and video courses and all that sort of thing.
Yeah, we've got all going on. But why we wanted to get together to do this again is, honestly, sometimes we'll be having a chat on the phone, usually about our own, the own ups and downs of our lives, because it's never perfect. And we sometimes stumble across like some quite smart ideas, I think, that are applicable to dating. So that we had a couple that we wanted to share with you over this week and next. And the one that we wanted to do today is what we've kind of snazzily entitled this morning, Act 3.
Yeah, like a Shakespearean drama.
Right, which is kind of the concept here is, it's like, you know how we interpret your love and romances? So say you've been with a guy and, like, you know, he's done something terrible and completely unforgivable. And yet, somewhere in there, as you said to me earlier, Harry, if he was going to turn up at your doorstep, ring you up and say, I'm outside, I'm sorry, I know I've completely messed it up. It was only because I loved you so much that I acted like such an idiot, but I've resolved all my issues and I'd like to sweep you off your feet now and carry you off into the sunset for a happily ever after. You probably go like, all right, great, sweet.
Yeah, I'm cancelling everything. I'm there. Let's do it.
Right. And this whole idea is that we kind of sometimes, when we've had a really bad break up with somebody, or, you know, a guy has done something to disappoint us, somewhere in our head, and I don't think we're alone here because Harry and I are pretty switched on, you go, this is fine. This is just act three, which means that there's in act four, there's some other stuff is going to happen. And then act five, there's going to be a big turnaround. And he's going to come back. He's definitely coming back.
the happy ending, the Disney thing.
Yeah.
The promise of happy ever after. But actually, act three is where I think in act one is the happy thing. Act two, the drama disaster happens. And then act three, we start to tell ourselves a load of rubbish in our heads. And we buy in to the fantasy of what we think that all the gorgeousness of the relationship was like, and we start to wallow in this, oh, but this, oh, but that, and we actually lose sight of the reality of the fact that it wasn't perfect. There were lots of things that weren't right. And yes, perhaps this other person has done something, or many things that were a bit shitty and a bit unforgivable. And actually, there are many red flags about them. But suddenly, in Act Three, we've gone back to the Disney romance and, oh, you know, we forget all this stuff. And it's very disempowering and it's very victim-y to be in that place.
Yeah, well. I agree. And I feel bad because it's almost like a bit of a... I'm going to go conspiracy theory on this. It's like, but if you think about it, how many Disney films have we all watched, or romantic comedies or romance books, which have basically the same plot line, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly the same plot line, which is telling us very simply that, okay, there might be a bit of drama, you know what, he might be aloof, he might be distant, he might not be ready, but then something happens, he resolves everything, happily ever after. And so we expect happily ever after. And the problem is we can kind of project this storyline and make all these assumptions onto our lives instead of, as Harriet said, looking at the hard facts here. And sometimes as a little exercise, it can be good to look at the hard facts. If you're thinking about reaching out, for instance, to an ex, so you're thinking, oh, maybe we could maybe be together, blah, blah, blah. Sit down there and I want you to write down 10 rubbish things that he did or said to you and think about it. And I'm sure they'll come to you easily. And at the end of it, if you still would like to contact him, you can go ahead and do it. But it's about actually re-engaging with the reality of the situation. I also really like what you said, that this whole storyline creates victimhood.
Yes.
Because we're in a passive position.
It does. And it puts us, when we take this position kind of in Act Three, as you describe it, where we lose sight of reality. And I love what you just suggested. Write down 10 hard facts about the reality of the situation that are not pretty, the not pretty list. One of the things that happens is that we start to lose sight of the fact that we're in control of our own happiness and our own life. And we start to expect or want someone, this mythical perfect man, never mind the not pretty list, to suddenly whisk us off our feet and it'll all be fine, and lose sight completely of the fact that we should be in charge of our own happiness. We should be in charge of who or what we allow into our circle of influence to say whether, you know, all this stuff. And we step into this horrible victim-y mode, waiting to be rescued rather than being the heroine of our own story.
I love heroine of our own story, as you know. Yeah. And it's true. It's also about what narrative you choose to take around it. And I think we all make up stories, right, about our lives after events happen, because we want to create rationale and we want to think that actually everything fits together, or to find meaning in things. I think that's human nature. And, you know, I'm a bit woo-woo and spooky. I think there is a certain way that events usually unfold. But how we look at stuff, as Harriet said, you can take one narrative, which might be, I met this guy and he was perfect, but, or he was perfect, but only if. That's when you know you're in trouble, when you say, if he could only be blah, 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 or, but if this just one thing hadn't happened, then it's like, we're talking about a mythical person that doesn't exist. So we go into that, then we think, okay, my prince has gone away because he's gone to like slay a dragon or go on his little quest and sort his stuff out because, you know, he's perfect, but he's just got this a few minor issues that...
The phrase that's coming to mind is batshit crazy for some reason. Yeah.
Yeah.
He's a bit batshit crazy, but do you know what? If only he just did this one thing, or he just...
Because we are perfect together. I'm the perfect woman for him, and he's going to recognise it any moment now. So he's gone off slaying dragons, and I'm going to put that almost in like quote marks there, slaying dragons. I don't know. I don't even want to know what he's doing. And we're there thinking, princess in the tower. I'm just going to, you know, I'll just wait and I'm going to sit here and I'm going to have faith and he's going to come around. And you know what that happens in that? You're never really taking any active control or action in the whole situation, and you're just wasting time sometimes. I think there's a beauty in letting yourself heal and not dating again before you're ready, but waiting or expecting something to happen or expecting someone to literally have a personality transplant.
Or a sudden flash of realization and come running back a reformed character. I think it's a massive myth, and it keeps us stuck and it keeps us in pain. It stops us from moving on. And I think the biggest thing in all of this, and the victim mode and the fantasy thing, is that we abandon ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
And that is such a dangerous place to be, and it's such an unhappy place to be. Because when you abandon yourself, you're powerless. You lose sight of what matters to you. You lose sight of what makes you happy. You lose sight of the truth. You're not able to take care of yourself, and you end up in this sticky place. And when you abandon yourself, all kinds of other kind of destructive stuff can come in as well. That's when, and I know all the rom-coms and all that kind of stuff, you're supposed to get together with your girlfriends and eat loads of chocolate and drink loads of wine, and up to a point, because it can tip in way too far. Because if you're in fantasy, you've got to run away from the truth of the situation. And that requires, for want of a better word, bullshitting yourself and papering over the truth.
Yeah.
And what kind of destructive habits are you going to need to layer on top of the truth to help you keep your blinkers on, your rose-tinted glasses?
That is exactly right. And it's true that when we run back into situations that aren't good for us, it's because we're in fantasy mode. And we've managed, as you said, to go through this... It's impressive, isn't it? The amount of, like, self-delusion that we can go through in order to do it. And I think what you'll be picking up on there is, you know, I will hold my hands up and say this, if I've had a rough breakup, then my first, here's what I'll do. This was the former strategy. Go on to an online dating site or something, you know, or go out on the pool, because that's going to really help, isn't it? Because you really miss someone. You had a really strong emotional connection to them. So what you're going to do, go on a bunch of like pretty boring dates with some average dudes that in your mind can't compare. And you know what? It makes it worse. I swear it makes it worse.
It always makes it worse because it just reminds you each time of how much better the other guy was.
And how perfect and awesome he is.
It feeds the fantasy. Fantasy feeding.
Yeah, exactly. So you think it's a good trick. You think you should be going out on loads of dates. Don't even bother. Get sorted and settled first. You have to get to the point where you go, yeah, he wasn't really that good, was he? I'm so glad I'm out of it. You know, you get to that point, then things will start to reshuffle organically. The other one that I know we wanted to bring up is also that what we're joking about, the clean break, which is, we both know, is that ability to delude yourself in relationships by escaping them through partying, drinking, worse, late nights.
Shopping.
Yeah.
There's so many ways that you can layer on. It's all designed to take you away from not feeling how you're feeling.
Mm.
And whether they're destructive or just expensive, the fact is you're not being fully conscious and fully present. And again, that comes to back to abandoning yourself. And the more conscious you can be, however painful, actually, no one's ever died pretty much from an emotion. And often just going there doesn't take very long. Sometimes you think, oh my God, if I start crying, I'm going to be crying for 5 weeks and there's going to be no tissues left in the whole of London. And, you know, my eyes are going to get so puffy that I'll never ever look normal again. But actually, sometimes if you just allow yourself to sit with it, do some writing, get your feelings out. I'm a huge fan of writing a really angry, full on expressing every single emotion letter that you're obviously not going to send. This is not the one you send, but this is the one where you're like, you bastard, blah, 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 you did this, you did this, I'm hurt because, and you get all the vitriol, all the hurt, all the bile out. And once you've done that and you've got every single thing out that you need to say, then you set it on fire. Mm-hmm. And you have like a ritual where you go, okay, I've faced the emotions, I've not run away from them, and it's so unbelievably liberating. And I think the other thing that's really important to do in this clean break situation to stop you from tipping into destructive avoidance strategies is make friends with your anger.
Yes,
because
it's all right.
It's fine to be angry. Emotions themselves are not bad. It's your response. So if you're really angry, don't do something destructive. It's absolutely fine. In fact, a really close girlfriend of mine about a month ago, she was so furious about something. I was like, look, why don't you go and buy a baseball bat? She was like, why? What am I going to do with that? I said, you're going to whack the hell out of that old sofa you've got in your kitchen. And it made such a difference to her. She got that anger out. And there's nothing wrong with that. And you can go and do some boxing classes.
Yeah,
because I think for some runs, like whatever physically moves that anger through. Do it.
Yeah, because I think as women, we can enter into a lot of self-judgment, right? Particularly around anger. We can go, I shouldn't be angry because at least I'm out. You know, you start going like with all these like lines that you only like 1% believe at this stage, which is like, I'm so lucky that I'm not in that thing anymore. Now I'm free to find love and, you know, I'm out of this. And you're just, again,
it's
lying.
It's a lie.
You're saying it and really like, I miss him and I hate him. I miss him and I hate him. So I think it's usually better just to go, yeah, I'm really angry. And actually, I feel my anger is relatively justified and I accept and acknowledge my anger. And I think, again, it's then when you don't run away from it. I've been, things I've done, oh my God, I've gone around on my hands, like on my all fours, howling like an animal. Like, honestly, sometimes that's helped. Also, people that I feel safe with, which is not that many people, like my mum and a couple of really close friends, big long chat with them, tears come. Like, that's when if I have to feel safe in order to cry. So getting all that, processing all those emotions, because when you go into, as you said, shopping, I'm a terror for that, drinking, drugs, sex, whatever you might be choosing to blot out the pain, it's like literally like you're trying to push the door, shut the door on this whole load of pain, and you get it to this, it's only a little bit open, it's a little crack open, but then as soon as you're out of that cycle, the door flies back open and all of the emotions hit you twice as hard. So I think it's better also just to get like super, super clean living and healthy and good.
Yeah, really, really take care of yourself. Imagine your very best friend, the person you love the most in the whole world, was going through this. How would you feed them? Would you book them massages? If they were really angry, you would be encouraging them to just express it. However, whatever you would do for someone you absolutely adore and love, be that person for yourself. Show up fully for yourself and you will be amazed how much better you feel for it.
Yeah, alleluia to that. So basically, guys, sorry, it's no sex and sparkling water until you feel a bit better. Honestly, this is the gospel. I can safely say Harriet and I have tried all the other routes. We've tried it, tested it to destruction. Doesn't work.
So, it really doesn't work. It really, really doesn't work. And as I'm someone who's given up almost every single destructive thing, I don't even eat sugar now. I can say that facing things full on...
And not just giving it up for a bit. You've done 5,000 days. Over
5,000 days without any drink or drugs or anything. Yep, and nearly a year off sugar. And my whole life is rooted in self-respect, dignity, self-care. And it's amazing the impact that living a life that honours me in that being at the centre has on my self-esteem and my self-respect. And
if you have self-esteem and self-respect, you do shut the door. Yeah.
And do you know what? In the same way that I don't take shit from other people, I literally won't take shit from myself either. Mm. And that's the most important thing.
And her skin is glowing, guys. Glowing.
Oh, yes. It is. It is. I'm glowing.
So, quickly, where can they find out about you? Because you've got an awesome program, right? A video course.
I have, yeah. I've got an amazing video course that I finished filming a couple of weeks ago. It's going to be starting in September, and the details are going to be up on my website in the next few weeks. The course is called Fabulous You, From Secret Self-Loathing to Unstoppable and Free. Because I always say a woman who is in complete partnership with herself is unstoppable and free. So I would say if people are interested to find out about me, my coaching, a lot of the talks and workshops I do, and of course about the Fabulous You course, hop on over to my website, which is www.harrietwhaleycohen.com, and you can pop your details in on the contact form and get videos and meditations and all sorts of stuff straight into your inbox for free, and it'll also keep you up to date with what's going on.
Amazing. I love that. Now, also, ladies, I have to say, if you've been liking this podcast, subscribe and share. This one might not be relevant for you, but I bet you have another woman in your life that you could think, actually, she could really, really do with listening to this. So the only way the podcast survives is if it's shared, if it's put out there, if it's distributed in our awesome underground network. So please do that. Also, as you probably know, I have an amazing online community for women who want to actually take a completely different methodology towards love and reclaim it for themselves. This essentially means actually saying that all the dating advice we've heard so far is built in a way that disempowers you and gets you chasing after all the wrong things. And instead, we want to find you and also then find the kind of men that should be worthy of being in your life. If you're down with that, go to haleyquinn.com/reallove, R-E-A-L-L-O-V-E, where you're going to find 5 videos about my core principles behind this totally for free. And just like Harriet, you get lots of lovely stuff basically coming into your inbox, which will empower you and inspire you and build community. So I will be back again next week with another Love HQ podcast. I think with Harriet again, we're doing 2 today. Wow.
Woohoo.
And I will speak to you ladies soon. Have a great week. Thank you for listening to my podcast today. If you want to find out more about me, please head to hayleyquinn.com/club, where I have a free 30-day membership available for you to my exclusive subscribers club. You can also catch up with me on YouTube at HayleyQuinnXX, on Instagram as HayleyQuinnX, and on Twitter as plain old Hayley Quinn. I'd love to hear your feedback on the show. Please engage me, please reach out, and thank you again for your support.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com. Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.